shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Your friend in the White House has been following in the footsteps of his predecessor.
This is the reform that some folks in Washington are still hollering about.
Yes, I'm glad the president passed health care.
I know many Americans are angry over this health care bill and angry at Democrats here in Washington.
No, Phil, get off me.
Boy, that's some guts, Boehner. That's some guts, man. That's a strong statement. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. Coming up tonight, Harvey Weinman will join us this hour. Plus, tomorrow night, it is crime night, and Dr. Michael Stone will be with us on crime night. We love talk. God, I didn't hook up with him in New York.
Yeah, that would have been bitching to go over and get a steak.
Yeah, you're right, man. Anyway, Dr. Michael Stone will be with us tomorrow night. Tonight, I guess. This is Friday. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And tomorrow night as well, a very special announcement on these airwaves, one that we've already made on our pre-show uncensored video cast, which is yours for the asking. If you just go over to our website, you can see our videocast. You also get our uncensored pre-show, and occasionally we do an uncensored post-show, and we are now announcing, well, I don't want to say, see, that's just it, I don't want to say.
No, it's out of the bag now.
I don't want to say. Anyway, tune in tomorrow night. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Very disturbing story, and also a repercussion from this very disturbing story as experienced by a guy that we've had on our program before. He's a contributor on legal matters here on the Phil Hendry Show. He's been an attorney, now retired, but he's been practicing law for some 50 years. In fact, it was the Marines that sent you through law school, right, Harvey?
Yeah, that's correct, Bill. The Marine Corps put me through law school after the war.
And you worked with the ACLU and...
I've been everywhere. And I've done just about every kind of legal case, yeah.
All right. Now, this story, Harvey, is one about Pope Benedict the 16th chastising Irish bishops for covering up clerical sexual abuse in Ireland, according to new documents that suggest he did nothing to discipline a Wisconsin priest who he knew had molested scores of deaf boys.
Yeah.
And may have blocked a church trial in the case.
That is correct.
But we're not going to talk necessarily about that. We're talking more about your experience, right?
Well, let me just back up, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm handling that case that I have anything to do with that case, because I don't.
All right. I understand that.
I want to start at the beginning, if I could, Phil. I'm not trying to run your show or anything, but I had... already to the council in San Marino and to the youth council that I've been working with and different agencies, I had already committed an $800,000 grant to build a youth center, an athletic center in San Marino, California. And a part of that athletic center would be devoted to children with disabilities. There would be a baseball field and a locker room and a gymnasium that would be outfitted and equipped specifically for these young people.
That is very, very generous.
Well, and I was very happy to do it. I've been, life's been good to me. I promised my wife before she passed on, God rest her soul, that I would put her name and my name on this enterprise, and it is a sad day when I've got to come on your program and say that I have withdrawn that offer from the charter and from the organization that I've been working with because of this action by the state bar.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. You are now taking back that grant. And I have to assume that that has something to do with this case.
Well, it has to do with the case.
No, hold on, Harvey. You're a little far from the phone.
I'm sorry. I was told by the the Judge Hewlett told me that he was going to recommend I be censored, or at least I be brought before the bar.
What happened? Tell me what happened, because I know it has to do with this story.
It's a very simple story. I had heard the story that he had molested these deaf boys, this priest. And I was in the courthouse cafeteria. I was having lunch, and I'll tell you the names of the men that were there. Dean Giles was there, who's a longstanding criminal defense lawyer that I know. Eric Shapiro was there. Both of them very competent counsel. And I said to Eric Shapiro, and we were having lunch because we're working a civil case.
You're getting off the phone there, Harvey.
All right, and I was working a civil case, and I said, that's got to be a deaf boy record, you know. And they laughed. And
now, you said that's got to be a deaf boy record on...
When I looked at the story here about this priest molesting these 200 deaf boys, and I said, that's got to be a record for deaf boys. And the three of us laughed.
Okay.
You know, and you don't have to give me your moralizing or anything, Phil. I understand.
I'm not going to moralize. What can I say? All right, you told a joke.
I told a joke with three other guys. Now this guy, Fred Ahrens, he's an ACLU guy. He's having lunch. He says it's not funny. He makes a complaint. And I said to him some choice things, which I won't repeat on the airwave. I said, mind your own business, basically. And we get into a hassle.
Now, what happened with the... Did he go to the judge in chambers, or what did he say?
He went to Judge Hewlett, who was hearing the case that I'm on. And it was Judge Hewlett who said he's going to recommend to the state to have me fined. Now, I've been practicing for 50 years, and that's the first time that I've been accused of acting inappropriately for conduct unbecoming.
Now, let me ask you something, because there's a lot of people who don't... maybe don't understand. You're a lawyer having lunch, but if another attorney hears you say something, he can go and talk to the judge?
If you feel you have witnessed conduct unbecoming an officer of the court, which is what we are, but to go and tell a judge that I told a joke that he didn't think was funny. Now, you know...
Harvey, let me ask you this, and I have to go on the record with this. You don't think it's funny that kids get molested?
You know what? I shouldn't even have to answer that question.
Well, but you know, you made...
I shouldn't even have to answer that question. I just got done telling you that I was going to give $800,000... $800,000 to this youth center. So I shouldn't even have to answer that.
For the record, would you just answer it?
What do you want me to say for the... What do you want me to say for the record?
That you don't think it's funny that kids get molested.
I never said that I thought it was funny. I said to Shapiro and to Giles when I saw the newspaper, I said, this priest, he molested 200 deaf kids. That's got to be the deaf boy record.
The deaf boy record. That you said?
The deaf boy record. You know, you're making it sound like that. See, this is why there's $800,000 that a bunch of deaf kids won't get. Because of responses like that.
Whoa, hold on. You can't blame me for you not giving 800 grand to a youth center because some judge has decided to recommend you be fined or censored or otherwise punished for conduct unbecoming. I didn't do that to you, all right?
No, you didn't do it to me. But you are taking a situation that was a perfectly innocent joke that didn't have to go beyond the cafeteria. And frankly, it didn't have to be. I think this guy, Aaron, sticking his nose into my lunch. And I said to him, I said, you know, it isn't that you are going to go to the judge. I said, it's the fact that looking at you has ruined my lunch. You know.
So you made it worse.
But how do you figure I made it worse?
You know that this guy is upset with you for this off-color joke or this joke that he thought was inappropriate. And you make it worse by making a personal comment.
I don't. At that point, I didn't care because he said he was this and that. Excuse me for a minute.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Hold on. He said he was going to go to the... Am I all right? I'm all right, but you're reminding me of this case. I'm going to have a stroke.
And all right, if you... You know, I can get off the phone.
No, I'm not going to have... I'm just saying. If I die in the middle of your broadcast, this guy Aaron's...
Oh, look, you know, at some point I'm going to conclude this.
No, you're not concluding anything. I'm going to get my side out. This guy and the California State Bar and this judge, they all got their say. I'm going to get my say. Now, I saw this story. No, I don't think it's funny. To answer your question, of course I don't. This guy Aaron's says to me, I had an experience like that as a child. And I said, by the same priest? And that's when he turned...
Oh, boy, Harvey, you didn't.
Didn't what?
You're making a joke out of that guy's experience?
This guy, I didn't ask this guy his background. I didn't say, hey, Aaron's.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I never felt better.
But you don't sound good, man.
Let me tell you something, man. Let me worry about that, okay, man?
Harvey, I'm not trying to piss you off. You didn't sound good when you coughed.
I'm fine, man. So the...
All right, I won't call you man.
Thank you, man. So Aaron says to me that when he was a kid, this happened to him, and I said, by the same priest, and that's when he turned on his heel like some woman that's been told she doesn't get another $20 for the slot machines and wheels away on me.
I think that was in bad taste.
You know something, Phil? I've known you too long to care about... you kill me. And you think I care?
No, I don't think you care. I'm just giving you... I think that was in bad taste. This man had been molested when he was a child?
Don't make it sound like it's... Don't make it sound like it's Rebecca Young Theater, okay? Oh, this man was a child. I'm telling you that...
Well, all right, I won't, you know, say anything. I just... You'd already made the joke, and then you made it worse by saying what you said to this guy, and then he goes off to the judge.
He was going to go off to the judge anyway. But the problem is this, Phil, and I say this to your audience. The problem is this. There was $800,000 that was going to go to that youth center and that disability center. And there were a lot of deaf kids that could have used that park. But because of Fred Aaron's and his political correctness and this judge, now they don't get it. And how does that make them feel? I'd love to know how it makes them feel.
Well, I think you're being petty.
How am I being petty?
Because you could still give the money to them. You could face the California bar. You could take your medicine, still give the money.
I don't give the money to who? I'm going to give the money to disabled deaf kids after this guy is trying to have me, disbarred because I made a joke?
Is he really trying to have you disbarred, or is it just a disciplinary hearing?
This guy Aaron's wants to see. He's hated my guts for years. For years.
So it's a personal vendetta.
I don't know.
Well, I don't think so, because if this guy had undergone a horrific experience like that himself and then heard you making a joke about this priest that molested 200 deaf boys, it sounds pretty real to me, man. It doesn't sound like vendetta time. It sounds like, you know what, I've had about all I can take from Harvey Weierman. I'm going to the judge on this. So we're talking to Harvey Weierman. I know that I like Harvey, but I know that he probably thinks I'm treating him unfairly here. But he believes that he's being singled out and he's being treated unfairly. He made a joke while having lunch with two attorneys overheard by another where he said, after reading the headline here about this priest that molested 200 deaf boys, the joke was, I wonder if that's the deaf boy record. So this guy, Aaron's, goes to the judge and now Harvey is in trouble. He says he's taking back the money that he's going to give to that center. So if you look for that, look it up on Google, man, if you wouldn't mind. This is a center for disabled kids. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Weierman, is this something he ought to just eat and just take his medicine, or has he somehow got a case here? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Harvey. Remember, tomorrow night it's Crime Night with Dr. Michael Stone of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I got to do it.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We have Harvey Wireman on the line with us from San Marino. Mr. Wireman, a retired attorney, doing I don't know, what are you doing? Are you, like, advising?
I'm consulting with the plaintiff and the plaintiff in a lawsuit.
So you're sitting there in the cafeteria there at the courthouse in Van Nuys, right?
Yeah.
And you're reading this newspaper headline that says 200 deaf boys might have been molested by this priest. You make this joke about, you know, it being the deaf boy record or whatever. So this guy, Aarons, goes to the judge. You do have a certain code of conduct that's expected, right?
Yeah, let me explain something, Phil. Yes, there's a certain code of conduct expected. But most people do not get offended by a joke like this unless they've got kids themselves. And then they've got to put on the airs of being offended. But
you put on the airs of being offended by a joke like that?
Yeah, it's not people. Most people who don't have kids don't care. Aarons has not only got kids, he's got this. He said that he got touched by a guy, and I don't know if it's true or not. I think that a lot of these people make that stuff up so you feel sorry for them.
Well, how can you say one way or the other? The fact is that if you've got a code of conduct or however you put it, what are you supposed to say, man? Are you supposed to make a joke like that or not?
You don't go out in public and start. I don't know if what I did was wrong at all. I think this guy. The joke, and I'll give you the joke again.
Well, I heard the joke.
Let me do the joke, because I've been listening to you do my joke. The guy says, you know, hey, and I looked, I said, look at this. And I said to Eric, look at this. In Wisconsin, there's a Wisconsin priest accused of molesting 200 deaf boys. I bet you that's the deaf boy record. Ha, ha, ha. He laughed. And
did the other guy?
Who that?
Eric Shapiro?
No. He laughed. You mean Giles?
Giles.
I don't know whether Giles laughed or not. And then comes this guy, Fred Aarons. And that's when he said, let me explain something to you, Phil. There's not a person listening right now that doesn't think that's a funny joke, that isn't going to at least get a chuckle.
Well, you're wrong about that.
How am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong about that. Don't get out of here. There's plenty of people, and you know it.
You didn't listen to what I said. I said there isn't a listener of yours who doesn't get a chuckle when I tell that joke. Okay?
I'm sure that there are. I'm sure there are people that don't laugh.
Well, that's wrong, because there's a lot of people who will tell you that it's not funny. That's different from saying they didn't chuckle.
You're telling me that every single person listening is going to chuckle.
I think everyone, the way I told it, not the way you told it. If I say to someone, what is the
Wisconsin priest accused of molesting 200 deaf boys.
I'll bet that's the deaf boy record. You know, the record on deaf boys.
I don't think it's funny.
I think you're a liar. You know that?
Well, you can think I'm a liar.
No, you heard what I said. I think you are a liar.
Why? Because I don't think it's funny?
Because you say, you know full well you think that's funny.
No, I do not. No, I don't. I don't think it's funny. I don't think it was anything you should have said.
You know full well there's people out there. See, this is what I can't stand about being on these shows, and I've done a lot of them, where I say something that's perfectly logical. And
Harvey, you're trying to tell me that it's logical to tell a joke about a priest molesting 200 deaf boys, and it's logical that people will think that's funny.
The way I did the joke, not the way you did it.
All right, well, if I did it wrong, do it your way.
Do what?
Do the joke.
Yeah, all right. There's 200 priests.
200 priests?
No, hold on for a minute. A deaf kid molested 200 priests. Is that the deaf boy record?
Did you hear what you just said?
Yeah, and you think it's shocking.
No, did you hear what you just said? Did you hear what you just said now?
I said 200.
You said 200 priests were molested by a deaf boy.
You know something? You're a lying mother. And if I tell you something...
No, I am not, man. We can play the tape back if you want to. Bud's here. Robert's here. We all heard it.
I meant to say there's 200 priests, not 200 priests, there's 200 deaf boys that molested a priest. Now what's happening here is you're getting a laugh out of this.
You're the guy that's screwing it up.
I said there's 200 deaf boys that was molested by a priest. Now that's a record for priests. I mean, that's a...
You see how you butcher this thing? Six Ways to Sunset? No wonder this judge wants to censor you.
You know what? I think it is an absolute abomination before God and man that you won't let me tell this joke the way a man...
Tell the joke, will you?
Tell the joke, will you?
All right, well, you're going to make fun of me.
Well, you're going to make fun of me.
You know, you didn't let me tell the joke, and now all I can do is mock you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, you feel better?
Phil
Hendry. You what? It was...
Phil Hendry.
All right, tomorrow night we got Dr. Michael Stone, and we have a very special announcement on air tomorrow night, which we'll do in our first hour. 877-876-PHIL. And as far as Mr. Weierman goes, I think that he's just going to have to take his medicine. And I thought it was pretty funny at the end. He didn't even know the joke.
Yeah, he thought it was like 200 deaf boys molested one priest.
No, he said it was 200 priests molested by one deaf. It doesn't make any difference. It's a lousy joke, and he never should have told it.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought it was funny when he started messing it up. It was funnier than when he got it right the first time.
Well, the point is that he was so flustered. Are you trying to tell me that it's funnier that way?
Yeah. The joke he told was in bad taste. There's no question about it, and everybody would agree on it. But then he goes, 200 priest molested one deaf boy. I farted.
Yeah, he did. He farted.
And I don't care if he farted. Don't tell me that, okay?
Well, that just tells you how funny it was.
Yeah, he lost control.
Oh, okay, great. Well, it must have been really funny. Bud farted. So what, man? And you know what? It's in bad taste, bad taste, bad taste, man. I don't want to hear about it.
You don't even think that, like, when it...
I don't want to hear about it. Just get out of here.
God. Light a match.
A Seattle mother is irate after she and her 15-year-old daughter's school arranged an abortion for her daughter without her... What? A Seattle mother is irate after she said... Oh, that's it. She said her 15-year-old daughter's school arranged an abortion for her daughter without her knowledge. Now, here is a note, folks, that abortions in Washington are legal without parental consent. So you have to ask yourself a question. Well, you don't even have to ask the question. You know what the answer is. This woman is making a big thing out of this because it is a political football that she'd like to kick down the field. And she is anonymous. That's right, anonymous. And I understand her anonymity in protecting her daughter, but how convenient. And she's telling her story to ABC. In fact, it's ABC in Seattle. It is Como Television, KOMO. And so on and so forth and like that there, right? So this is some kind of an exclusive that the ABC television station in Seattle got. She is anonymous, so people don't have to know what a pain in the ass she is and what a phony baloney she probably, I'm sorry, you know, and what a phony baloney she probably is by saying, oh my goodness gracious, my daughter had an abortion, and nobody told me about it. Well, you live in the state of Washington. A mother whose name has been withheld at her request to protect her privacy. I got one for you, Mom. How about protecting your daughter's privacy, since your daughter's going to be talked about and her picture broadcast worldwide because of what a numbskull you are? The mother, whose name has been withheld at her request to protect her privacy, told ABC News Seattle affiliate KOMO, because they, you know, got an exclusive with her, that the clinic gave her daughter a pass and helped her get a taxi that took her to a facility where she underwent an abortion. The mother did not immediately return messages left by the ABC by ABCNews.com because her deal is with the local station. I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you get sued, man.
What are they going to sue me for?
You're saying they practice checkbook journalism, man.
Well, you know what? Let them sue me. I'm making a joke. They know it. Anyway, ABCnews.com couldn't get any phone calls returned because they're small potatoes. They're a, you know, who cares about you? You're an internet site, man. Mom watches KOMO all the time. She's sitting there with the nougats and the, you know, the stuffed seized chocolates, watching her ass getting bigger and her life going downhill. It was not immediately clear. What are you looking at, bud?
Boy, how come you hate the lady so much?
I don't hate her, man. I don't hate her. Why?
Well, don't you think she's got a right to know?
Not in the state of Washington, no. Did you hear the first thing that I said? The state of Washington, you don't have to have it. You understand? There's no parental consent. Now, maybe the law is bad. Maybe the law is wrong. Maybe it ought to change. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's something else. But don't give me this bullcrap about how, oh, my God, you're shocked and irate. That's bullcrap, man. You can't be shocked because you know what the law is. It would play better if you said, you know something, my daughter had an abortion, and this is what we're talking about. This is why this is a bad law, and I want to get some parents together. Go public, man. Get some parents together. Do it right. Don't sit there in the dark. Anyway, the mother said she took a pregnancy test at school at the teen health center. Nowhere in the paperwork does it mention abortion or facilitating abortion. Really? The mother said that she had signed a consent form that permitted her daughter to go to the teen health center on the campus of Ballard High School for what she believed were ailments like earaches or for routine physicals, but not for an abortion. Well, she didn't go there for an abortion. She didn't go there for an abortion. Boy, if I'm smelling Tea Party, I'm sorry, but I smell the stink of someone using this family's situation for a political purpose. Well, that's fine. Glad to get it out in the open, man. That's what I say. I said it at the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. Who's using her? Who's this woman being used by? What organization got in touch with her, or what organization did she get in touch with so they could expose two things? The non-consent law in Washington, and also attack the Obama health care plan, because looky here, there's a health center giving kids abortions. The health center didn't give the abortion. The health center was acting within the law. The form also allowed her daughter to receive birth control from the school's health clinic, the mother said. She took a pregnancy test at school at the teen health center, the mother said. Nowhere in the paperwork does it mention abortion or facilitating abortion. Well, nowhere in the paperwork does it say abortion or facilitating abortion, which doesn't mean that it prohibits it, or that the law prohibits it, for that matter. But here's a good one for you. Did you read the paperwork? And if you did, I'm supposed to take your word for it? You'll pardon me if I ask that question, ma'am, because I don't exactly know what your motives are here. But even so, the mother is furious that her daughter, who is on the school's honor roll, was given an abortion without the school notifying her parents. We had no idea this was being facilitated on campus. They just told her that if she concealed it from her family, that it would be free of charge and no financial responsibility. Now, this is something that I have to take this mother's word for. She could be lying. I noticed that she's dancing around this issue. She's saying, we had no idea this was being facilitated on campus. So that's what she calls non-consent. She can't say that they're in the wrong by providing an abortion for this girl, because it's legal in the state of Washington, abortion on demand, if you will. You don't have to tell the parents. So she knows she's on unsure footing there. So now she says, we had no idea this was being facilitated on campus, but she doesn't know whether that's legal or not. Most likely it is legal, and she just doesn't like it. They just told her that if she concealed it from her family, that it would be free of charge and no financial responsibility. We don't know if that happened at all. Folks, let me just tell you something. I know that in some markets in this country, some cities, some radio stations in this market, they don't want to hear that. The audience that went. And I said it at the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. You know, the Phil Hendry Show is a potpourri. This radio show goes wherever the hell it feels like going. And I'm not a conservative, and I'm not a liberal, and I got to tell you, it is more likely, just like I said at the beginning of the show, it is more in the reality of America, it is more likely that I gets censored than anybody really gets upset with this woman or this story. It is more likely because of the editorial control, because of the lack of industry leadership, because the media, as I told you last night, is the number one story in the news. The number one story that isn't being reported is media information, how it's being changed, how it's being manipulated, how opinion is being twisted. And in point of fact, this is where people just lose all understanding of what it is they're listening to. People, when they're talking to me about media, they'll say, well, the information's being manipulated. And I'll say, you're right to a point, but you don't get the whole story. You don't get the whole story. You think there's a grand plan. There's never been a grand plan. You think there's a big plan to manipulate information so the conservative interests of this country, there's never been any such plan at all. You give way too much credit to this industry. The only plan they've got is making money. Unfortunately, their plan sucks. Their plan sucks. They don't understand that what people want to hear is compelling radio. I'm talking last night to Adam Carolla. You heard what Adam Carolla said. It illustrated perfectly what the problem is. He's got this TV network telling him that we have to have a character that is lovable. Look at Archie Bunker. He was lovable. What they don't understand was the actor Carol O'Connor, in playing that wonderful character, Archie Bunker, brought that humanity out of that character by virtue of just performing that character week in and week out. We saw the humanity, we saw the lovability of Archie Bunker as created by Carol O'Connor. That's why it was a brilliant, brilliant character. You cannot write that into a formula and say, aha, we better make sure that we got some lovability here. Just let the actors and the writers create these characters and let it happen, right? This is why NBC hasn't had a funny show in thousands of years, and that includes My Name is Earl. Yeah, I know. A lot of people think it's funny. The Office is a lift from Britain, so that doesn't count. So, frankly, My Name is Earl is the only funny show that NBC's had on the air since Seinfeld or maybe Frasier went off the air. That's how rotten their programming decisions have been. And you want to know why? Because they're telling guys like Adam Carolla, hey, you got to write in some real sensibility. This is what I'm talking to you about. Now, this extends to radio. There's no plan. People make me laugh when they say, oh, there's a grand conservative, the grand liberal plan. No plan at all. I mean, grow up a little bit. It's far worse, folks. They don't know what they're doing. And so whatever wins, wins. And whatever gets money, gets money. The number one story not being repeated in America Today media. And as a result of that, because they're not very bright, they think, well, conservative wins. What's always winning and what always has won is good, solid, compelling radio. Good, solid, funny, compelling radio. That's just it. Now here comes abortion mom, right? And I say she's a phony baloney. She's being manipulated by probably a TV station and a political movement. I would guess the Tea Party, but I'm not quite sure. Being manipulated so that they have something on the ballot in Washington State having to do with consent for abortions. All right. And she's going to kind of begin to churn this up a little bit. I don't even know, frankly, if she exists. I don't even know if this kid exists. This could be all phony for all I know. But the fact is, she's being manipulated by a political movement to say just the right things so they can indict A, the consent in Washington, and B, the health care plan. I'm way ahead of them, man. I'm way ahead of them. You guys got to be way ahead of them, too. Even if you're opposed to abortion without parental consent, you should be resentful that you're being manipulated this way. You should be angry that you're being manipulated this way. It isn't about abortion, pro or con. It isn't about health care, pro or con. It's about the information, the media, fighting itself to gain market share, to stop the bleeding, to stop the money loss, to stay in business, and they will say anything, and they'll do anything, and they'll report anything. Obama's not lying to you half as much as CNN and Fox News. You don't have to believe me, but I will be proved right, and that's why this show is a cut above, baby.
Well.
Oh, really?
Well, you know.
All right, anyway, Dr. Stone joins us tomorrow to discuss Rodney Alcala. This is that weird ass from The Dating Game, and the fatal vision killer, Jeffrey McDonald. What's new with that guy? Jeffrey McDonald, who still swears up and down, man, he didn't do it. That'll be really interesting. Tomorrow night with Dr. Michael Stone. Coming up, the stories we couldn't get to in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Time now for the stories we couldn't get to here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Remember, tomorrow night we will have that special announcement on air. Special Phil Hendry show announcement on air. First hour of the show. The first hour are 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern hour. Sanjaya Malakar, the American Idol star from Federal Way, received a speeding ticket. That's Federal Way in Washington. Received a speeding ticket near Kirkland early Tuesday morning. Malakar was spotted southbound on Interstate 405. Yeah, what we call the 405. Near 85th, around 2:30 a.m., the Washington State Patrol said he was driving 110 miles per hour in a 60-mile-per-hour zone. Trooper Dan McDonald said Malakar was sighted and given a $411 ticket. He was alone in the car. State Patrol does not believe drugs or alcohol were involved. Anyway, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, a Wisconsin college has found a new way to cut costs with email by changing the font. The University of Wisconsin Green Bay has switched the default font on its email system from Arial to Century Gothic. It says that while the change sounds minor, it will save money on ink when students print emails in the new font. Think about that, man. Century Gothic.
Here we go. Change it right now.
Well, don't do it without me. I just want to see what it looks like, all right? Diane Blohowiak, or Blohowiak, Blohowiak, anyway, is the school's director of computing. She says the new font uses about 30% less ink than the previous one. That could add up to real savings since the cost of printer ink works out to about $10,000 per gallon. God, that's where they do their stealing. Blohowiak says the decision is part of the school's 5-year plan to go green. That ain't going green, man. That's saving money. You see? Anyway, she left Wisconsin Public Radio. Or she tells Wisconsin Public Radio, it's great that I'm now working at this school and I don't work with you guys. No, she said that it is great that a change has come that's eco-friendly and also saves money. How's that eco-friendly?
On account of they got less ink that they use. And that means that...
You don't even know. It probably means that by using less ink, there's less polluting ink on paper that gets thrown into the Green Bay. Anyway, in Salt Lake City, police told a teenager who botched a robbery at a Salt Lake City convenience store. Police said a teenager who botched a robbery at a Salt Lake City convenience store asked the clerk not to tell his mom. Not to tell your mom what? That you botched the robbery or that you actually committed the... Anyway, Salt Lake City police said, Mom, I botched the robbery. Hey, how you doing, man? I told you to go down there and get me a box of tampons! Steal it if you have to! Salt Lake City police said the teen went into the store early Saturday morning and approached the counter with several items. As the clerk laughed at him because he had a box of tampons for... No, he didn't. As the clerk rung them up, the teen tried to sneak behind him and hold a knife to his neck. The clerk spun around with his hands up and smacked the teen in the face, knocking him to the floor. The teen then asked the clerk not to call the police and then added, "Don't tell my mom," before he fled. His name, Billy Bibbit. I guess you had to have seen the movie. Please, Nurse Ratchet, don't tell my mother. Being stung by a bee would have most people rushing to a hospital expect at one Beijing clinic where patients queue up to be pricked into good health. Bee sting therapy, which involves placing live bees on a patient's body at certain pressure points, dates back over 3,000 years in China and was considered legal in 2007. It is similar to acupuncture in that it uses bee stingers instead of needles and the same principles. But the bee's toxin, which doctors say is a natural medicine, is essential, making the treatment almost like an injection. Doctors at the Kai Tai B Clinic, a traditional Chinese medical facility in northeast Beijing, says the therapy has proved effective in curing diseases such as rheumatism and arthritis, as well as a list of other ailments. The B therapy has an obvious effect on patients with bone and joint disease, said Wang Qing. That sounds phony baloney.
What?
The guy's name, Wang Qing. Anyway, Polish feminists have objected to a hospital's breast cancer preventing slogan, which they say encourages workplace harassment. The slogan, "I check the breasts of my workers on my own," was devised by a cancer hospital in the southern town of Opole and aimed at convincing employers to encourage their female workers to have their breasts checked regularly for cancer symptoms. "This is a sexist slogan that obviously brings sexual molestation to mind," said the head, of Feminotka, Joanna something or other. It's a Polish name, so I'm sure you understand. When they asked her, "Where'd you get the idea?" she said, "Those pain-in-the-ass Americans." Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Tomorrow night, a special announcement just before we have Dr. Michael Stone on for Crime Night. Go on over to our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, from the El Pacifico, a pleasant good morning.
Phil Henry.